So take your Bibles, open up to 2 Peter chapter 2 again. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read the first three verses here tonight. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So the last lesson of last week was primarily spent on the characteristics and the power of the false teachers. And we mentioned several important areas. Number one, these are people that would arise from within, and we know from Acts chapter 20, from without. So from within and without. Secondly, their work is initiated in secret, Jude verse 4. And that work is destructive heresy as well as blasphemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Timothy here in chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2. So tonight, hopefully we'll cover their power, and if we have extra time, their condemnation. So I want to talk about the power of these false teachers. Let's read verse 2 and 3 again, and then we'll drop back to 2 Timothy. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, when you're on a particular subject of something of this magnitude, it does well for you and for me to reread. You know, there's three verses there, and reread them, and then reread them again. Slow down, read it slower, with the intent maybe I'll catch something. Lord, show me something I didn't already know. So, Second Timothy chapter 4, look down here in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. If that never happened, neither would these false teachers. But look what it says. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. And after their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they turn away. Because these people are ready and willing. The devil is at the door of our church. And if we're willing to open it up and let him in, he'll come right in. And in many a church, he's there. And, you know, he's not welcome here. And I hope he's never welcome here. All right, verse 2. There are three things that describe the horrible effects of these teachers and their work. Number one. It's widespread, and many shall follow. We had a message on follow me. Well, the devil has a message of follow me too. And many shall follow. Now, should you know the history of false teachers, large crowds, thousands, are at most of their gatherings all around our country, all around the world. I've seen some of these people show up in areas that it's one of the third world countries, and they'll have 10, 20, 50,000 people, maybe more, with somebody translating to them. And not only that, but the TV audience is massive. And the money pours in through the mail and credit cards. Inheritances are signed off to them. People give them, you know, whatever inheritance. You've got scams and more scams. And I'm grateful for that our Lord took the scribes and Pharisees to task with the truth back here in Matthew 23. So let's go back there, Matthew 23. Say, well, we're not talking about scribes and Pharisees. Oh, yes, they are. They're just not Jewish. And they're not dressed up in these robes for the most part. But they're doing the exact same thing. Matthew 23, look at verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. It's an interesting passage that these people that we're talking about, they're not going. And the people that buy into this, that have never ascribed to the truth, are not going either. Even though they think they are. Because the message is false. If we were to do, let's say, like across the street, Church of Christ, and we would say, okay, we believe salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's only one step. And you've got to have four more. And the last step is you've got to be baptized in the baptismal waters of their church. Then you're saved. So if we changed and we became like them, most of you would catch it. But maybe somebody could come in with a very, very eloquent and smooth talker and cause you to think, I was wrong. Like the Apostle Paul, I wasn't complete. And so you would buy into that, but you already would be saved. But what about people that came in after that and heard that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not sufficient? You've got to go in the baptismal waters, and then you're saved. That message doesn't save. So understand what he was saying. These are people that, without the truth, and they're promising something they can't deliver on. Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. I know, personally, of at least two or three, I can't remember if I know the third one to memory, of widow ladies that have signed over everything to churches. Now, if it's a Bible-believing church, and there was no coercion, that's one thing. But if it's not, and there was coercion, that's bad. I do know of one where there was coercion, and so it was so bad, it turned the people that were rightfully due the inheritance to not want anything to do with the Lord at all. That's these people. This is what they did. Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, before ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Say, that is strong. Are you going to equate that with these people? Yes. Because they are the enemy. And you cannot tolerate and say, well, they mean well. I was just reading something yesterday about this well-meaning person. This well-meaning person is 100%, well, I can't say 100, let's say 80% correct and 20% poison. Do you know how volatile a solution that is? It's not like they're 98% truth and 2% wrong. They're mostly wrong. All right, so it was widespread. Let me ask, and I ask myself the question too, how come we're so quiet about all this? Our Lord wasn't. I mean, we're not him, obviously, but still, he pointed out what they were. And these people have, I see they have free reign. They're... Once they were investigated, for financial inconsistencies. And it turned out that the way they scammed all these people, they didn't bother with that. It's just they didn't violate any tax laws. That's all they were interested in. All right, so many shall follow. Number two, not only was it widespread, it was immoral. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, the phrase goes more to their lives than their false teachings, but it's not isolated. I mean, the two go together. But this speaks to their lusts, their shamelessness, and lasciviousness. And there is the tendency to live in sin because they've not accepted the truth of salvation and a host of other Bible doctrines. And so if you're not bound by the Word of God and you've not trusted Christ as Savior and your sin debt, even though your sin debt was paid for, that's still unforgiven, you don't have an indwelling Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth, and you're on your own. And you do what you were doing before. You make things up. All right, number three, it was blasphemous. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So because of the ungodly lives that they do live, and by reason of the false teaching, the way of truth is evil spoken of. When we lived in Montana, we went door to door, and we debated, should we wear white shirts or not, our white shirts and ties. And we said, well, we'll do that. And so almost every house we went to, we had to explain that we were not Mormons. And they wanted nothing to do with Mormons, obviously. But because of what the Mormons were doing, then, see, it affected, and they figured, we're just like them. When we first got to church here, I went over to Mrs. Satterfield, who the street's named for, and she and her husband owned this whole thing, and he sold this to the Denmans and some of those that were starting this church, and she never forgave him for that. And so when I went over there, she says, who are you? And so I told her, and she said, and how long are you going to be here? And I said, as long as the Lord wants me here. So the invitation is always open for you to come. Well, I've seen them come, and I've seen them go, and she was a hard-nosed lady, for sure. And I didn't get anything out of her. But a lot of times, you can do things in your life, and the way of truth is evil spoken of afterwards by other people. So understand that we're talking about a big, complex group of people that are on board pretty much the same. So they do not make the way of truth, of the truths of Scripture, clear. Rather, they twist them and twist them and twist them enough to strangle the truth as being unseen, unknown. And since they are the authority, then you'll go ahead. And they defame the truth while saying they proclaim the truth. By the way, this opens the floodgates of names and organizations historically and presently involved. They say, we have the truth, but yet they defame the truth. So, you know, when we start off, I might as well dig the hole real deep when we get going here. All right, in verse 3, we see the motive of false teachers. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. The reason they're involved in this line of quote-unquote work is through the greedy desire to have more and more and more. You know, when this thing all got started, most of these people didn't have very much. But then something clicked somewhere, And they started, the money started coming and coming and coming. The PTL people, I mean, they didn't start off with a great deal of anything, but then once they put up a satellite, the money just kept pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And their teaching never changed. It was still false, but the money kept pouring in. And the power got broader and broader and broader. Even though nothing had changed. It wasn't that, you know, they would say, well, the Lord is blessed. I would say, not my Lord. I wouldn't say he was blessing that. Not with the things they were putting out. And so greedy of gain appears to be one of the chief features of the heresies in the apostolic age. And many false teachers and preachers operate today in order to make lots of money from their followers. I was probably going to use this somewhere else, I'll use it now. These are not soul winners, these are soul hunters, like Nimrod. They're not trying to give you anything, they're trying to take from you. And what they do give you is a false assurance that if you give me money, and you give me lots of money, the Lord is going to bless you and make you as rich as me. You know, there's not any of those that have bought into that lie that are rich. And the rich got richer, just the way it's set up to be. Their worth is in the multi-millions. We're not talking about, you know, a normal amount of money that they would receive from this. They have multiple homes worth millions and millions. One of them with gold faucets in bathrooms. You know, they have jets. Jesse Duplantis has five, and he wanted six. He says because he can't fly far enough at one time, and he doesn't want to go down and load up and get more gas. I mean, when is enough enough? It's never enough. Ecclesiastes talks about that. They have cars like the fingers on your hand. And listen, we live in a capitalist country. I'm a capitalist. Are you a capitalist? I mean, in life, conservative. I mean, if you wanted to have more cars, you could have more cars if you wanted. But this is, again, it's never enough. It's never expensive enough. Now, there's another side to that story. And that is to gain and gain and not know what to do with it, and then take it and use it for yourself, like drugs. And the church in Apopka, do you remember the church in Apopka? It's Zachary Timms, who's the man. He was a prosperity guy, Destiny Church in Apopka. Had a big church, mega church, and he went to New York City. And he died. And his mother sealed the cause of death for 2 years. And finally they broke through the seal. And it was a mixture of cocaine and heroin. And so it wasn't like he just fell into that. That was been going on the whole time. And then eventually the church got turned over to Paula White. So you say, did that go from bad to worse? Probably. I don't know that she did drugs or anything. But she had it, changed the name eventually, and stepped down last May to what she says start about 3,000 churches. Well, I talked about her and some other guy last week, and it was just one statement where she did not, and she agreed that Jesus Christ is not the only begotten Son of God. Well, you're attacking his deity very clearly. But she is one of the most reckless and dangerous people you can know of or about. And let me get into this. There was one of your True Trash magazines, you know, at the supermarket. The one that you get to put like your eyes like this, so you don't read any of that garbage when you go out. It had a picture of her and Benny Hinn coming out of a hotel in France, holding hands, and saying, "Oh, we were just had a spiritual meeting, a spiritual get together." Nothing sticks to these people, and they do what they want because that's who they are. All right, so let me say one more thing. She has written a book, and from what I understand, and the people that are saying about it, people that I don't necessarily agree with in a lot of ways, saying this book is nothing but heresy. Franklin Graham endorsed it. Jerry Falwell Jr. endorsed it. Jack Graham used to be head of the Southern Baptist Convention years ago, endorsed it. And Robert Jeffress endorsed it, First Baptist of Dallas. What's wrong with these people? Jeffress appears on Fox News every once in a while with a big Cheshire Cat smile. And sometimes he says some things, and most times he's there to, you know, have somebody pat him on the head. All right, so Paula White, let's get to our president. Paula White has a spiritual advisory board. She is the top dog. She is the head of it. And these four and some others, I think there's 35 there. We need to pray for our president more and more and more. I mean, there's a lot of things going on physically. But spiritually, she's dangerous. And she's smooth. And I can't imagine what he's being told spiritually that's going to be of any help to us as a free country. And God may be trying to bless this country or some kind of revival. You can't have her kind of revival, because then the country will go eat deeper into the toilet. And eventually God's going to flush it. So, anyway, these are people that... You say, you're very critical. I'm right. All right? They're not called in this. They're not in this work because they're called of God. They just want to be in it. Note the words, and they make merchandise of you. Yeah. God is judging motive here. False teachers. They were trafficking with the people that they were supposedly ministering to. Listen, when you hear a term, you're usually repulsed by it, and rightly so. Sex traffickers or sex trafficking. What about spiritual trafficking? That's what these people deal in. Spiritual trafficking. And it's as repulsive as sex trafficking. They think these people have their best interest in them. No, they're not. They're making merchandise of them. They're taking and taking and taking. It is so easy to see. And yet so few see it. As a matter of fact, back in Jeremiah, when he talked about the priests and the false prophets and everything that was going wrong, and they were saying everything they were doing was wrong, and the verse ended, "And my people love to have it so." What is wrong? What is wrong with people? The world are lost. Well, what is wrong with Christians getting involved as well? Maybe we're not saying anything. And so you think, well, we're all on our own. We each have to walk our own way. Well, eventually you do, but at least you can be warned. If the wolf is coming toward the sheep, and the shepherd says, "Hey guys, let's go over here today. I don't want to warn you that there's a wolf out there." Well, that's a rotten shepherd, and the wolf will probably eat all the sheep anyway, and him. They don't have their best interest in the people. Okay. Also in verse 3, we see the judgment that's coming on them. whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter says God's judgment on these people is not going to linger on and on and all. It's going to fall shortly, let's go back here to Romans chapter 1, like the reprobates in Romans chapter 1. I believe you can tie the two together. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 28. This is the third time God gave the people up. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then there's the list, verse 29, verse 30, verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you not think that there's something there somewhere where they know God's judgment is going to fall? I mean, we know that a long time ago, judgment was seen by God in destroying and overthrowing the world in Noah's day. And then he came a few chapters later and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Both of those are illustrations of God's power. And so this judgment will bring them down to utter ruin and destruction in eternity. I think there's a part of me, there may be a part of you, that would say, I'd like to see that now. I've seen some people say some pretty false things over the years and benefited and gained success in so many ways. And I've thought, Lord, how long are you going to allow this to happen? But I'm not the Lord. David prayed, how long, O Lord? You know, he said, have you left us forever? But the judgment is certain because God said it would be. And there's a good thing in here. You don't ever want to be on the wrong side. You just don't. So then, in the next few moments, let me take up where I left off last week. And I said in the beginning, it's best to get deep into trouble in the beginning rather than the end. So the false teacher I want to talk about this evening is not a single one, but a plural of the popes of Roman Catholicism. They are false teachers. They are false teachers. They've always been false teachers. I don't know that they're ever going to stop being false teachers. The seven sacraments to salvation is an utter lie. Period. They say he can speak infallibly. Another lie. We have everything we need for our day within the pages of our 66 books of the 1611 Bible with no deletions or additions. So nothing. What would you do if all of a sudden we determined the upper echelon, we're going to create an upper echelon of our church. And the upper echelon will have a council. And in that council, the one who heads it up at times can speak infallibly. And God will give him new revelations. Why would you want to be a part of that? I mean, the cults are that way. But I mean, why would, and this is a cult, by the way. Just this week, this small little minuscule antichrist that masquerades as speaking for Christ under a stolen name, Holy Father, gave his blessing to the French president, Emmanuel Macron, to be the global leader of the COVID-19 pandemic of the New World Order of the United Nations Security Council. Macron wants to be that. And this current pope, false teacher, gave him his blessing. All right, what's Macron's first name? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. That's the name of Jesus Christ. That's Isaiah 14. That's Matthew 1. You know, I see the rehearsals for... these little chill bumps. The rehearsals for the rapture and tribulation to follow are coming at us fast and furious. He's not going to be the one, let me tell you. But that this is open and being stated, and the things that are happening in our country and around the world, Sullivan's are holed up. The pages are holed up. Where is today? By the way, Mrs. Sullivan got robbed at gunpoint. The title of his newsletter, March is the longest month, is the longest month of the year. And then they've been holed up, and you know, you get severe penalties if you just go outside. They determine what's non-essential. That's scary. You know, again, we need to praise the Lord. We got a governor like this, and that the federal didn't get involved. All right, John Hagee, super hyper dispensationalist and prosperity teacher. He loves to draw money from his followers, and so he uses fancy words. If you need a harvest, sow a larger seed. This is all catch-all fruits. If you want something in return, then you give me more. If you have the virus, COVID-19 virus, or cancer, dig deeper. That's a quote. Dig deeper. So what? You don't have things. So what? You may lose everything, including your life. Give me more. As though if you give me more, then God is obligated to give you more. And we'll get to those, who these people are. Andrew Womack sits down at a chair. I've listened to him a few times. I have to turn him off. I can't stand it. He said that our physical healing was paid for on the cross. And there's many in that category. They take Isaiah 53 and they make that totally physical. It's not, it's spiritual. The cult of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, Jehovah Witnesses, Charles Taz Russell, the Seventh-day Adventist, Ellen G. White, the Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, Armstrongism, Herbert and Garner Ted, the Campbellites, Dreist, Thomas and his brother, I forgot what his brother was, the Oneness Pentecostals. We have one of those in town on Garden Street. Oneness Pentecostals deny the Trinity. They deny the deity of the Holy Ghost. And J.D. Jakes and Jimmy Swat are part of that group. They maintain that salvation is not through John 16, but rather Acts 2:38. Plus, being baptized in their church, plus speaking in tongues. It's false teaching. False teaching. I know a person, a preacher, who went up to the pastor of that church and said, "How you doing, brother?" "It's not my brother. Not my brother." Unless he came to grips with salvation is through faith, grace by faith, and that alone. But it doesn't work that way. Okay, here's continuation of my list. Catherine Coleman is the mother of the faith healing movement. Kenneth Hagin is the father of the word faith movement, the name it and claim it. This is how you get to the point where if you send me your money, then God is obligated to give you in return. And if you just desire to have something at one day, then you just name it. And then you claim it because he's obligated. God is obligated to man. Oral Roberts, not alive anymore. Some of the wildest and outrageous ever perpetrated to man. and healings that don't heal. Three missionaries were in a meeting in Europe. They wanted to see what was going on with Oral Roberts. And they sat in the back of the building. And it was healing and healing and more healing, and it was wild. And all three of them prayed together, "We plead the blood of Jesus Christ for this place and on these people." Silently, their heads bowed. And it wasn't 5 minutes later they announced, "There's an evil spirit in this place. We have to shut down." I had it on tape for years, and the tape got so bad. Speaking of, you ever see his eyes? Now, I always have felt that those eyes show me who owns his soul. It's not Christ. And speaking of that, Catherine Coleman was that way, and Kenneth Copeland is that way. Richard and Lindsay Roberts. Lindsay is Richard's second wife. They tried to copy his dad's legacy. Got caught in a scandal stealing millions from the university, Oral Roberts University. And the wife was immoral with a student. And of course they had to leave. I don't even know what they're doing. Harold Camping, "The Lord's going to return this time. The Lord's going to return. The Lord's going to return that one." How many others have done the same thing? It's a false teacher. You can't do that. Joyce Meyer, prosperity, healings. I'll give you a list of things she believes in. I'm going to make a compilation here. She said she maintains with Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland that Christ was the first born-again man. That Adam was God manifest in the flesh. And there Christ needed to be born again. Number two, all Christians are little gods, little G's, like before, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Copeland, same thing. Joyce Meyer is no longer a sinner. When we were ready to move to Montana, we went and we lived in Hollywood, Florida, and we went to pick up the U-Haul. And so while we were doing that, did all the paperwork, went outside. Chris was with me. She was, what, 4 or 5, I think. And I gave the lady a tract, and the front of it said, "Am I going to heaven?" And she looked at it, and she told me, "I don't really need this." And I said, "Really? Why?" She said, "Because I don't sin anymore." I said, "Well, I think even more." So anyway, we got in the truck, and Chris looked over and said, "She was lying, Dad, wasn't she?" I said, "Absolutely. Total deception. I don't sin anymore." Number four, Christ stopped being God on the cross. Number five, her teaching elation from God. You don't need the Bible. You just need her. Direct revelations. You get that from a ton of people. Christ went to hell to pay for your sins. All right, we have Jim and Tammy Faye. Baker. Prosperity. Healers. Scammers. Tammy Faye is no longer a scammer or a healer. She died. She knows the truth now. If she could voice her voice through the eons of time, she would tell her husband, "Drop it. It's wrong. It's all wrong." Jim Baker, again, was the same thing. He got caught in immorality. Remember, he got started scamming people all over the place. Now he's back on TV, and he's still scamming people. The latest was the jar of silver for $125. If you would buy that, then it would cure the virus. Fortunately, the Attorney General of Florida shut him down. Finally, somebody stopped him. But this has gone on for 3 weeks, and nothing has ever changed. And finally, they stepped in and stopped him. William Young is a writer, Canadian man, Jack. In this shack, God is a woman. And there's a lot of other bad things. But the shack is embraced by a lot of the young people today as just being wonderful. No, it's awful. It's a lie. Lots of emergence, those are churches and people that are in those works, and departures from the Word of God that are in high places, spewing the glories of being free from the Word of God. Not being bound by the authority of the Word. That's why they look the way they look. That's why they do the things they do. It's just a freeing thing. Now, with that being said, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Or 3, I'm sorry. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I would put every name into verse 13. Every organization, every church that's a part of that, into there, that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And it goes into Matthew 7, at a time that is going to be unannounced. There's no announcement that's being made here. You have to pick and first the things that I mentioned earlier today and the things that have been mentioned before. You know that these are all contemporary signs that are pointing to something that's going to take place. And you know it's going to take, and that it's become so. We knew this all along, and now it's open. And that is, the shadow is drawing longer. Because the sun is getting higher. And it's drawing shorter. So in Matthew 7, in verse 13, it's a straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now keep and go with me to Matthew 57. Matthew. Isaiah, sorry. Just blurt it out. Hey, Matthew doesn't chapter. I don't, you never know, maybe in somebody's Bible. So at a time that is unannounced except by a loud trumpet sound and the call, come up hither. Look at chapter 57, 1 and 2. Remember Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. There is he toward walking in his uprightness. I've maintained all along that there's not as many people that are saved as you think there are. And that when the rapture takes place, even though this is speaking to Jews, I think there's an application. Oh yeah, okay. So what? Look at the death rate. Look at the amount of people that have died worldwide, and who's really upset about that? They're just statistics. And that's what this will be. The Lord will call us up. I'm just looking at it like that. Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Praise the Lord for the rapture, and we're going to be taken away from the evil to come. And these people are saying, so what? Who cares? All of what I said, the beginnings of the end, lead to this place. It all goes somewhere. And these people will continue to flourish, and there'll be more new ones that are on the scene, and they will continue to take and take and take. And the Lord is going to redeem or rapture us out of here, but I don't believe there'll be all that many. Because there's too many that are buying into it. So stay in the Word, stay true to the Word, and just don't get up because it's coming. And can you a Roman Catholic Pope embracing a Gentile president of a nation to be the global leader of the New World Order in conjunction in the UN? It's scary. And yet it's great. Even so, come Lord Jesus, wouldn't it be great? Gone. Who cares if we leave the lights on? And we can leave the air on. We won't even have to lock the doors. And nobody will take our cars. Or if they want our cars, they can have them. So, let's pray. Father, we are eternally grateful for your word. More so the Christ of that word and the way in which it has been delivered to us, the inerrancy of it. Thank you that you've kept it from error, and we know that you will continue to keep it from error. We're saddened by the great majority of people that are thinking everything is okay. It's not okay. It will be for us. I just pray that we can reach them with the truth. The medium now, the chief medium that we have right now is the internet and our services. We still can't do a lot of other things. So we just ask that you give us liberty in what we can do and an aggressive, militant position to get the truth out. There are many, many people that have been convinced that every name that I've named here, they are correct. And we are wrong. We try to win them. They are not the enemy. The enemy are the people that perpetrate this. And if we can save a soul from hell, it'll be all worth it. So speak to our hearts as we go our way, as you turn off the live stream, and give us a good night. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.